Hey, thank you all for tuning in. If you like these kind of topics, check me out on Darkness Radio. You can check that out, darknessradio.com. We're on Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. to midnight from the Twin Cities News Talk Station, AM 1130 in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we stream nationwide right from our site. You can find it there at darknessradio.com. And if you've got the iHeartRadio application, look for Darkness Radio, and you'll be able to find our podcast there as well. So check it out and be a part of our world. The best part is if you listen to the show live through our live stream, you can stay tuned because as soon as Darkness Radio wraps up, George Norrie continues your journey with the best in overnight talk radio. So that's 7 hours of fantastic content Monday through Friday. Darkness Radio 9 to midnight and George Norrie from midnight till 4 a.m. Central Time. Please check it out, darknessradio.com. This evening, we're talking with extreme paranormal survivors. From Amityville Horror, we've got Christopher Lutz. From The Conjuring Case, we've got Andrea Perrin. And from The Haunting in Connecticut, we've got Carmen Snedeker all here with us this evening, and we're taking your calls, your questions, your thoughts as we progress for the remainder of the show. Thank you very much for the respect you're showing to our guests this evening. Let's maintain that throughout the rest of the show. Let's go real quickly back to the phone lines west of the Rockies. Sherry in Modesto, California. I hope we have a better line for you at this point.
Oh, hi, Dave and Chris and Carmen and Andrea. How does that sound?
You're fine until you get to the last name, and then you start to fade away. What's your question for us, Sherry?
Well, the question is, I had an incident of a place I used to live on in Modesto that I was in this one room, and I felt this evil presence, and I was told in a voice in my head, which was a friend of mine that had passed on, and I knew who it was telling me, he said to stay in that same area, not go any place, not do anything, and he would get rid of his spirit, and I did what I was instructed to do, and this evil presence left, and I never had any problem with it after that.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you were able to break free of that. It sounds like the evil presence is messing with your phone tonight, though, Sherry. Thank you for calling. We appreciate the call. Horrible lines, unfortunately, that'll happen. We've had some really strange experiences on Darkness Radio and on Coast to Coast with listeners when we talk about the strange and supernatural. Sometimes the callers and phone lines will just dip in and out, very strange. We're going to take another quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue with your calls. We'll continue with your emails. Again, you can send them to me at dave@darknessradio.com, and we'll continue to weave them in throughout the show right here on Coast to Coast AM. We're back here on Coast to Coast AM talking with real-life paranormal survivors, Carmen Reed, Christopher Lutz, and Andrea Perrin. A quick email coming in here from Mr. Miller. He says, from Roberta, in Fresno, says, your son in the movie, Carmen, shows something coming out of his mouth during the seance. Was that something that actually happened, or was this something that was embellished for the movie?
Oh, that was maybe. It was supposed to be ectoplasm, but that didn't happen.
That was just part of the Hollywood twist on the story, correct?
That's correct. Actually, my son was not in the house by the time the house came full-blown active. He actually, I had put him in the mental hospital, and he didn't come back into the house until after we moved out. So he wasn't there in the worst of the situations, although what he experienced was pretty bad.
Jeff from Sacramento has been waiting for a while to speak with you. Wildcard Line 3, Jeff, welcome to the show. Jeff, are you with us? Well, it sounds like you might have fallen asleep. Jeff, I'm sorry we couldn't get to you a little bit quicker. Let's go to the first-time caller line, Richard in Indianapolis. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm just calling about mentioning the house. We lived in for about a year in 73, 74. It started with this one. My mom played with the Ouija board with my 12-year-old brother, which wasn't smart. But this one guy come to the door one day asking for Chuck. She thought it was for my dad, but my brother was named the same name. And after that, it started getting weird. My brother would start speaking Latin in the middle of the night, trying to get out of the house. Jar flew across the kitchen, almost hit my brother in the head, and my mom found my sleeping bag folded under the kitchen table with about 4 pints of blood in it. We don't know where that came from. And on the Ouija board, it said, my mom said it, that it said, "We regret to inform you the following are going to die," and it started listing me and my brothers. Well, in 88, my brother was killed on a motorcycle. What's weird is he was born April 17th. My oldest brother was killed in 2010 by a heavy machinery crushed him. He was born July 17th, and now I'm born November 17th. So sometimes I think I'm next.
Did it give it in a listing of in what order it was saying that it was coming for you guys?
No, she didn't remember. But the guy that came to the door, shortly after that, her and her friend were driving near a house past a swamp. It was raining. He was just standing beside the road looking at them as they went by.
Wow, that's so chilling.
And we'd seen him one more time 3 years later. But that's the highlights of it. It was a very creepy house.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, I'm glad you survived that. And
well, you're still feeling like you got an issue with the November 17th birthday?
Oh, yeah, constantly.
It sounds like something I'd have to look at further and would like to ask you more questions before I could, like, comment on it. Look for me on Facebook. You can find me at Facebook.com/AmityvilleKid.
Okay.
Send me something so that we can, like, look further into it.
Yeah, because my brother, who was killed in 88, he was going down the street and his car cut in front of him and he was on his motorcycle. And the cross street where he was killed was 17th Street. It's like happened right there.
Sounds like you got number issues.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Numerology.
I share a similar pattern, so. Yeah.
All right. Well, reach out to Chris. Yeah, reach out to Chris on Facebook at Amityville Kid, and he can help you out with that as well. Maybe give you some more insights. Wildcard Line 3, Jeff from Sacramento. Do we have you online now?
Hey, Dave. Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. Speak up a little bit for us, Jeff. What's your question this evening?
Well, it was basically just some observations and all that. And,
okay.
I wanted to iterate on. There was the one person that called in, and they said that, that they were having trouble with, bad entities going after them and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've observed, I'm 60 years old now. I'm a Vietnam vet.
Thank you for serving, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thanks. But what I've observed is that, the closer that you get to spirituality, and maybe I'm not, I kind of side with George Norrie, that I'm spiritual, but not religious. But that, the closer you get to your spirituality, the kind of like the brighter the target you are, for bad entities to try to knock you down. And the narrower the path will get. And so as you achieve greater spirituality, you have to be aware of the things that are going to try to hit you from the side and knock you back down into a different place and take you away from your final goal. Are you still there?
Yeah, we're listening.
Okay. I'd also like to comment. You had the one guy that called in that said that he had like a doppelganger dog or something.
And right. That was a guess, man.
Dog. But then he found out it was just a phantom. I spent some time, I used to live up on the top of a mountain outside of Bonanza, Oregon, and the Indians around there, they gave me an Indian name, calling me the man that lives alone on the mountain. But none of them would go up there because they said that the mountain was inhabited by Gunganas. And there was only one Native American guy that was my friend. His name was Dave, by the way, also, Anyway, but he would come up there And he told me I had Kuganas all around, and because I would experience strange activity, knocking on windows, phantoms, shadow things, and but to get back to the point, I asked him about these Kuganas, and he said, "Well," I said, "Well, what do they look like?" And he said that they will take any shape or any form that they want to take. And so to get back to your previous caller, I feel that possibly it was one of these spirit forms which just took a familiar item out of his brain and so that it could come in.
To be more recognizable and acceptable.
What's that, brother?
To be more recognizable, more acceptable.
Bingo. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, it comes with subtlety, so it's accepted.
I want to put a shout out to all your guests that are on there. And we did have, during my lifetime, a lot of spirit activity going on ever since that Ouija board started up, back when I was about 10 years old. And then we moved into a house that was haunted. And it wasn't like an evil haunting. It was just a presence. But I found out when I was living on a mountain, which the Native Americans said was inhabited by Kuganas. I never knew anything about those before. That's why they didn't want to come up there, because they didn't want any of these little spirit forms to follow them back. But finally, eventually, what I had to do was I took little mirrors and hung them from strings on the trees all the way around. And what would happen was when these little spirits would see themselves, then they would leave. And then after that, sounds crazy, Dave, it really does, but that's how I got rid of them. And because they were starting to, like, they were rapping on the windows, and I've got snowfall outside, and I look outside, and there were snow footprints, and on a fresh layer of snow, and I mean, like, right on, all the way around. But
wow, a lot of activity taking place, Jeff. Thank you very much for calling in and sharing. That's a lot. Going back to the animal questions, one of the questions I got, and I'm curious what, maybe we'll start with you, Andrea. People are writing in about their dogs and cats. They seem to think that their animals are tuned in to the supernatural when they'll stop in the middle of the room and look up towards the ceiling, or stare at the top of the stairs and there's nothing there. Do you believe that that is really paranormal activity, or are they just so acutely attuned to sounds that they may just be cocking their head to hear something taking place, barking two blocks away?
No, I think that I can certainly distinguish between the two. I have had numerous experiences because I've always been surrounded by animals. I've rescued hundreds of animals in my life, and they are acutely aware of paranormal activity around us. When we lived at the farmhouse, we had numerous issues with animals that would simply, the cats would try to find a high spot. If they sensed something in the room, they would go high and buzz up, and the ears would go back. The dog, we have one dog that would simply not pass by the cellar entrance in the front hallway. She would literally go outside and walk the entire perimeter of the house to come in the kitchen door. She just would not go near that cellar door. We had really numerous experiences. I could talk to you for the next 3 hours about animal things. So I think that they are not only do I think that they're acutely aware of spirit activity and that they see things that we do not perceive, but I also have had experiences where animals have passed and then come back to make their presence known, whether it is to say goodbye or just to let us know that they're still with us some way, somehow. And it just happened. My mother's precious little dog died 2 days before her birthday in August, and I was there, and she died in my arms. And I had to leave, but my sister Christine called me 2 days later, and she said, I heard Pootie in the house all night long, walking between Mom's room and my room and sniffling and all of her noises. She didn't leave Mom. She won't leave Mom. She's right here.
That's comforting, though, right? I mean, knowing that our furry friends are always with us. Now, on the other side of things, Chris, you know, the story is that when your family moved in to that house in Amityville, your dog kind of took the brunt of some of the activity as well. Harry, is that right?
Well, to call it paranormal, I don't know that I'd call it that, but it was one of the, it was definitely the first strange thing that was not usual. My dog jumped out of the, it was like a dog pen, and he was still on the leash that he was led into the dog pen with, and once he jumped that chain link fence and that, and the leash got stuck on the top of the chain link, he was dangling by that, and he started, you know, like he was like choking to death, and he was my dog, and I had him from a little baby, and I ran up to him to try to like help him, and I didn't know how to deal with a dog like that. He was getting big and heavy already by then, and my body became his thing to lift himself with. So I got scratched all up while George went inside the pen and grabbed him by the neck and pulled him back into the pen. So whether that was paranormal or not, I don't know. Did the dog notice anything? I don't know how the dog came, but he wanted out. So.
No doubt. Yeah, he was trying to escape that situation, it would seem. We're coming up against another break. We've got more phone calls coming in. We've got emails. Again, you can shoot them to me at dave@darknessradio.com, dave@darknessradio.com. And please, we've got about half an hour left together. I could really use your help. We're trying to end hunger for the holiday seasons here. We're doing our Halloween for Hunger campaign to help Second Harvest Heartland. Their buying power is such that every $1 we can bring in supplies 3 meals to families in need. That'll give 3 full meals to one person. That's right, $1. The change that you have jingling around in your pocket, if you donate just $1, it's going to help feed one person for an entire day. All we're asking is for a little bit of help on this. So thankful that Coast to Coast is allowing us to do this as well. Darkness Radio has been doing this for 11 years, 8 years on our current station, and 2 years now with Coast to Coast's aid. And we'd love to get up to our goal of $10,000, which will supply 30,000 meals to people in need right here in the United States. The money stays within the United States and goes directly to the people that need it most. You can go to darknessradio.com, find the banner, click on that banner and make your donation, make a difference and help out your neighbors, your friends, your family, and people that may need that extra little boost during this time of year. Just go to darknessradio.com, click on that banner and be a part of the change. Again, that's for Second Harvest Heartland's Halloween for Hunger campaign, or you can email me directly, dave@darknessradio.com, and I'll send that link out to you promptly so that you can make a donation and help us. We're going to run this through November 5th, so if you're listening to the podcast form of the show, we'll be running it through November 5th, 2016 at midnight, so make a donation anytime during that time to help us hit our goal. We'll be back with more of your calls and more emails on Coast to Coast AM. Extreme paranormal hauntings. That's what we're discussing this evening. Our guests for the evening, Christopher Lutz, we've got Carmen Reed, and we've also got Andrea Perrin from The Conjuring, Amityville Horror, and Haunting in Connecticut, the real stories behind the Hollywood movies and books that you've read and heard about. I'm also looking for TV shows. A few of them have reached out to me. They're looking for extreme cases of paranormal activity. If you are in what you consider to be a dark haunting right now and you are looking for help, you can email me, dave@darknessradio.com, dave at darknessradio.com. Give us your information, the story of what's going on, and we will do our best to see if we can find somebody that can help you. Phone lines are open this evening if you want to call and be a part of the show. You can also email those stories to me, Dave at darknessradio.com. Or email your questions, and I will try to put them through as the show progresses here. Let's go to Wildcard Line 4D in Seattle, Washington. Thank you for your patience, and welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hey, thanks. I've been listening to your guests, and they're exactly right on. I have never seen an apparition, but I opened that door, created that door, and they're so right. Once it's there, it's always there. And when I hear people wanting to talk to the other side, I say, just don't do it. Because there, you can shut it through prayer, but it's always there. And I think they're right that they do attack people with spiritual connection to God. But I also, from my personal volunteer work, they attack people who are good doers for the earth, for people on the earth and on the planet. And I don't see apparitions, but I opened the door to talk to them, and I should have never done that.
Well, please do be careful with that in the future, and we hope that you're safe on that. Let's go to Wildcard Line 5, Jim in Payton, Colorado. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Dave, and guests. Nice to speak to you.
Thank you.
You know, I kind of think about all these places that, you know, we're talking about Amityville and all these different places. You know, I think that a lot of it's residue that's left behind. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be the family that moved in, but one that moved in three families before that actually brought these entities with them, and they stayed. The Bible and Yahweh are very specific about, you know, black magic and these types of things. Jesus says we can't speak to the dead because they are past a great chasm. And because they're across that chasm, which I think is another dimension, we can't speak to them. So I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're actually, you know, across this chasm, and we're getting these other people in there that are, you know, other spirits.
Across that chasm, I think what's over there is going to be the souls of the dead. Until they're called in the resurrection, would remain here. That's why when he says that the dead in Christ rise first, okay, you're still here. So what is across that chasm is going to be the difference between the good and bad souls of people. And then there are things called evil spirits that were not incarnate people that roam the earth. And so there's a difference between what you'll wind up dealing with. And if you look in, what would it be, Chronicles, where it talks about Saul wanting Samuel to be called up. The very first thing he says when Samuel comes forward is, why have you disturbed me from my rest? And so, you know, he gave a true prophecy over Saul that he would die, told him that he wasn't communicating with God, and that's why he was consulting God's prophet, even though he's dead. And so if you look at what Samuel said, it was a true prophecy, so you know it was the prophet of God. It actually came to pass the very next day. He died on the battlefield along with his son. Now, so the fact that the Witch of Endor was able to call up Samuel meant that it can be done. It's a matter of it's not supposed to be done.
It's not so much if it can be done, but should it be done, right?
Yeah. Right, and so there's a difference between whether he was that was calling forward a previous living person versus one of these dark spirits that'll pose as a form of living person.
Our producer, Nathan, do we have another break here that we're up against? All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got some more of your calls, some more insights, and we'll cover that when we return here to Coast to Coast AM. We're back here on Coast to Coast AM, wrapping up another fun evening. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Tonight we're talking with extreme paranormal survivors from three of the most famous cases in the world, the Haunting in Connecticut, the Conjuring case, and Amityville Horror. We're talking to survivors from each one of those cases. We're taking your calls. We're going through your emails as well. And you can email me your questions or concerns to Dave at Darkness Radio. The phone lines are open. I want to ask real quickly, before we lose too much of the show time left here, after all of your experiences and what you've dealt with, what you continue to deal with, what is your takeaway from the paranormal experience, Andrea? What do you feel is your final takeaway from everything?
Well, I can't say that it's final because I'm still alive and kicking. But I will tell you this, Dave. Though the 10 years that we spent in that farmhouse were our darkest days, they were also the most enlightening of our lives. And all of my family was profoundly and permanently altered because of the experience. We all continue to have ongoing attachment, all of it either benign or benevolent, nothing sinister, nothing malevolent at all. But I will tell you that it is for us a truly profound change that happened during the 10 years that we lived there. And I think that in the final analysis, it brought us all much, much closer to our Creator than we were when we moved into that house.
And how about you, Carmen? I mean, you've had such an extreme story and such highs and lows in your encounters. What has been your takeaway from all of this that you've experienced?
Well, Dave, I agree with Andrea, for one thing. I was forever changed by that house. My path, my journey was changed forever. But I am here on a journey, and I'm to learn as much as I possibly can and seek as much as I possibly can. And in my journey, I get to choose, and I am choosing to walk in the light. But it's still a choice, and we need to make a wise choice.
Christopher, for all the people out there that are listening and maybe going through their own Amityville curse, their own haunting in Connecticut or conjuring issues, what advice do you give to people that are in the thick of it right now?
Hold on. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Turn from your wicked ways. Let him hear your prayer. And as you turn in repentance and ask him earnestly to help, you'll find him reach to you and change things around.
We've got an email here from Mark. And earlier, and I'm sorry, I can't remember if it was Andrea or Carmen that was talking about dealing with elementals. Which one of you was that? Was that you, Carmen? Okay, the question then directed to you. How do you tell the difference between an elemental and a ghost?
An elemental, it was never alive as a human was. So an elemental is like a small pet or shapeshifter. They're very common little pesky creatures. They're neither evil nor good. They're just shapeshifters, and I don't know what they're made out of, but they feel completely different than a human spirit. A human spirit is a ghost. That's what we recognize as a ghost. And the energy is completely different. They're more like a spark. Best way to describe them. They feel like a spark.
All right.
Does that make any sense to you at all?
I guess, right. But you feel the difference just being around them. So if you can tell, is there an intensity between the spirit realm and things like elementals or the demonic? I mean, is there a different overall vibe when they first show up?
Yes, there's definitely. They're like the little mischievous things, almost like the cartoon characters. They show those little elves being mischievous and into things and liking to turn things on and off and shapeshifters. That's exactly what they feel like, that cartoon character. And they tend to mess with things. Like that guy said that the dog appeared to him, but mm-hmm. it didn't behave like a dog. So that was the first clue. It didn't run and jump on him like a dog would. That's the first clue that there's something amiss, but you can't put your finger on what it is because it looks like your dog. That would be something that would do that. Some kind of an elemental would do that.
All right, let's go to the phone lines again. East of the Rockies, we have Chris in Ferguson, Missouri. Welcome to the show.
Okay, hi. Good morning, Dave, and
good morning,
everybody.
Hey, Chris.
I'm on the same journey also. I've been dealing with something in this house for about a year and a half now. I have taken about 50 videos. I have a little bit on a video, actually. And my grandson has actually seen this. You're with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first thing I'd like to talk about is the Ouija board. Demons in your home and how I got this information. The Ouija board is idolatrous. It is an occult practice. And when you seek a source of wisdom, knowledge, guidance, or power other than God, you are paying reverence to the demonic spirits through their idolatry. Now, the demons in your home are spirits in your home that can bang on doors, make the sound of footsteps, make lights turn off and on. You'll see mysterious shadows on the wall or creatures at the foot of your bed. They make you have nightmares. Your house can be cleansed of evil spirits, and so can the inside of a person. Now, I got this information from Poltergeists and Demons in the Home by Frank Hammond. And his wife was Ida Mae Hammond, who wrote the book Pigs in the Parlor. And they are in Leffingwell Avenue in Kirkwood, Missouri. Did you get that?
Yes, we got that.
Yep.
Okay, so there's quite a bit of information right there. Now, do I have time to tell you a story about what had happened to me?
Yeah, if you can make it in about a minute or two here, we've got a little bit of time to spare. Go ahead.
Okay, for years, I'd say back in 2011, I started feeling all this hatred from my family, from the people I work with, and a lot of different people. It was known as psychic attack. And there were times where I couldn't sleep at night. I couldn't even think straight. Some young girl walked up to me and said, "You know, what's the matter with you?" She gave me this book called Pigs in the Parlor. And I opened up that book and I said, "You know, I don't believe in all this exorcist stuff." This was in 2011. I opened up this book and there was two hands that Ida Mae had, you know, drawn from her hands. She said, "Jesus told her to do that." I said, "OMG, I have written down almost every word out of these two pages and wrote down all the definitions. This is in the book called Pigs in the Parlor." When I was reading that book, and I was also reading a book by Norman Vincent Peale, when I got off of work, I felt this large weight come off of my shoulders, and that's called deliverance right there. And I was freed from that psychic attack. Now, on the other hand, when you listen to Luke from the Bible, once your house is clean, the devil will go out into the desert and come back with seven more demons.
Yeah, you'll be worse off than the beginning.
Yeah, if your house is not clean, you have to keep your spiritual life clean.
That's the going sin more thing.
Well, see, but what I'm saying, though, is they're coming after all of us.
Yes.
And they want our energy, or they want to knock us down as far as they can. They're coming after all of us. And as long as we...
And the more that are already picked off, now there's more demons to attack the ones that are still holding fast.
Now, Norman Vincent Peale said, if you're that honest and you're that sensitive, you are in big trouble.
Yes, we are.
So that's one of the reasons right there. They know all about us. They know everything that bothers us. And when they start putting that psychic attack on us, if we get these ideas in our minds that are coming from them about people who hate us, people who did us wrong, and we get more angry and more angry, they feed on that energy, and they get stronger and stronger and stronger.
You have to
agreed.
Rebuke that.
Deliverance is real.
It enters your mind. You have
okay,
to rebuke
no, okay,
it.
No, watch this now. I went and spoke to a Catholic.
Real quickly, Chris, we got to wrap up here.
I spoke to a Catholic bishop, Robert Herman, who is all involved in all this stuff, and they came up with CDs for us to listen to about unilateral forgiveness, to forgive other people, even though they don't even need to know they need to be forgiven. Unilateral forgiveness. See, they got CDs on this. You forgive all these people, and there you go. That's part of it right there.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in. Yeah, we appreciate some of the insights on that. It certainly seems to resonate with at least Carmen and Chris as he was speaking. I could hear you both in agreement.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, he was actually very correct. But the thing of it is that whenever those thoughts enter your mind, you just have to cleanse your mind and not allow it to go there. If you feel anger coming building in yourself, you have to react with love and find a loving solution.
So you think that when you start feeling like that and you're feeling that bubble up, that effect, that what it is it's something outside influence affecting you, not necessarily something that's within you to begin with?
Well, not always. Sometimes it can be you. I mean, there's...
Well, there's some things that I was dealing with. I'm not trying to cut you off, Carmen. I can hardly hear you. Until I forgave George, I was a mess. And once I let go of that hatred, something in my spirit changed. And there was deliverance. And that's not like the only thing I had to deal with. So there's multiple demons that some people really are afflicted with. But I think it's not just some people, all of us. And
some are more aware than others.
Those different things need to be addressed. And until they are, you're stuck with this mess.
Well, I can't thank the three of you enough for giving us 4 hours of your time. I know this is a busy time of year for all of you, and Andrea's out at an event this evening, and I know you're all in different time zones and different points. Thank you so much for spending your evening and answering the questions of the Coast to Coast listeners. Chris, thank you for being here. Andrea, Carmen, thank you for being a part of the show.
Such an honor. Thank you for taking me to the big show.
Thank you. It was, I could just leave everyone with one thought. I must agree that in my life I have found it to be true that love is the answer to every question.
That's a great way to go out. Thank you very much to all the listeners, Nathan and Donna back home for taking the calls and running the show for us. My engineer and buddy here, Tim Dennis. Of course, Chris Boros and Amy Rouse, my producers for the show. Lisa Lyon and George Norrie for letting me sit in. And remember to go check out darknessradio.com and listen to Darkness Radio, the best in paranormal talk radio, Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight. And while you're there, check out the Second Harvest Heartland Halloween for Hunger campaign and make a donation until November 5th at midnight. Help us help neighbors right here in the United States with food issues. Thank you. Be safe. Love one another. Be kind. And I'll be back again with you near the end of November here on Coast to Coast AM.